The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Monday, October 11th. And as always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my good friends, Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John, a.k.a. Daniel Velasquez, a.k.a. Young Zoolander.
That's an inside joke like a motherfucker, bro. Nobody will get that. But
what's that, Bubba's?
And I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike. And this is, Tyler and John don't know this yet, this is the 200th episode of Jenkins and Jones.
Well, hush my grits.
That make me feel old as a motherfucker. I don't know. That's 200 of something is a lot. We started in like 2015. I think we should have been to 200 if we were like actually responsible.
Yeah. that's only like 4 years, you know, 52 weeks in a month. That's like 4 years of shows, and we've been at this shit for like 6 years.
Creeping up to the 200th mark. Like, we'll get that when we get there, you know?
It's a lot and not a lot.
Yeah, exactly.
200 or something
but
is
anyway,
a lot.
Congrats. Yeah, go ahead. Congrats, yeah. Fellas. Could you ever have imagined when you decided to do your first podcast? What did you talk about on the first podcast? Animals, right?
Yeah, I feel like we talk about Russ and Sierra. I think that's when they first started getting popping.
I think also, I think you made fun of me for drinking Honey Jack, but now you are a Honey Jack liker, right? Or appreciator? Appreciator.
I appreciate it. Okay. I'll say that.
We've grown a little bit.
A little bit.
Well, you definitely both have different perspectives on relationships than you did.
Episode one. Been a 180 on that like a motherfucker.
Rather listened to the first pod. She was like, I don't know that man. She definitely wouldn't have dated him. For sure wouldn't have had a kid by that nigga. But anyway.
Let's talk about the picture that has caught the internet by storm. Jason Kidd, a.k.a. Young Vin Diesel face.
Big neck boys. That motherfucking collar, nigga. That shit look like drapes, nigga.
Like
he has a curtain on his neck, nigga. Bro, roll that fucking scroll of a collar up, nigga. That shit looks crazy. And he took a picture in that motherfucker. Trayvon won. Trey? I said his whole name. I can't believe y'all called him. Trayvon.
Black Trey.
Trayvon. Yeah.
Yeah, Black
that,
Trey
that
won.
That nigga Trey won. Right.
He said, I can cut your hair, my man.
That's that nigga.
Just like one of them barbers. Right. Just like one of them. He nailed that shit.
He gonna fuck your whole lining up, nigga. You know what I'm saying? You gonna have to buy a hat after that haircut. You feel what I mean? Like, bro. That shit, wow. I cannot believe. I can believe. He's old. He probably thought he was fresh, too. He probably put that motherfucker on. Like, I'm finna kill him. And they eating him online, nigga.
How is your collar resting on your shoulders?
Like, bro.
Like, how do you see a collar on your shoulders and think this is a normal way collars should work?
Ow. That shit like a cape, nigga. That shit wild, bro. Fucking waving on his fucking chest.
He is comforting those collars. Like, he patted his shoulder like, I know you had a long day.
Bro. I mean, like, in the 70s, that motherfucker didn't come out to the end of your fucking shoulder. You know what I mean? We have never seen a collar like this before. It is the first of its kind, nigga. You know what I mean? Like, dude, who let this man do this? That is crazy. Oh, yeah, Jason, you look good. Let's go ahead and take these photos. Nigga, what? Hell no, nah, man. Crazy.
In my head, the photographer is always a Twitter dude. You know, the photographer is always someone who in his head the entire time he's taking the picture is like, oh, this is going to go crazy.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to.
This nigga is food right now. Look at this. He looks delicious. I can't wait to throw this on Twitter, nigga.
First Thanksgiving ass Colin right. Pilgrim looking motherfucker right here.
Bro, that fuck. I looked at that collar. I'm like, and then I was like, no, I said, no neck should have this much collar, right? And then I was, did you see, like, there was a thread of niggas that was sending me, like, these necks of humans that look like they're from a different species, dog.
Yeah, it's the quarterback from the Texans, right? Who has the brontosaurus neck?
I can't, bro, nigga.
That... They showed a picture of his coach talking to him, and his coach put his hands on his neck, and his whole hands are on his neck. Like, nothing's resting, nothing's touching his jaw, nothing's touching his shoulder. Like, he's just like he's carrying a fucking telescope or something.
I wonder if when he put his hands on his neck, did he stop and think, like, oh, this is kind of wild. Like, mid-conversation, like, my hand is not touching this nigga. This is a, whoa, Bubba, you got a lot of neck, nigga. Like, and then go back to what he was saying. I would have stopped mid-convo, you know, mid-sentence to, like this is, whoa, damn. They're right.
Was he gently stroking the side of his neck? If we see the video, I don't know.
Imagine seeing that on the other side, from the defensive side, seeing that neck peeping over the fucking line, nigga. That's I don't know. That's a different side. That's different, bro. But that
our good friend Tyler, that dude's neck went viral. I think the first week of the NFL season, and Tyler had posted a series of pictures of headshots, and the dude with the neck is the only dude whose shoulder pads are not in the headshot. It's just his face and his neck going down, like.
Bro, I want to know what the kids said about his ass in school, bro. They had to be on him, dog. Like, can you imagine looking to your side and seeing that neck, nigga? You in class.
In seventh,
like,
grade.
God damn. What the fuck? Shit. God, he got some velociraptor in his ass, man. God, that shit don't make no sense. I bet he could turn that motherfucker crazy angles, nigga. That nigga. Woo, boy, man. Shit.
Did you guys see Tyler's, not our Tyler, the other, did you see the other Tyler's accidentally viral tweet that he's been battling with for the last 3 days?
What happened? What'd he say?
The funniest video on Twitter.
Shit. He was talking about a specific, really dumb inside joke reference about John Gruden having said that when he lost his virginity, he was singing the Notre Dame fight song in his head. And so someone posted a video in response to that, and he said, pound for pound, that's the funniest video on Twitter.
Pound for pound? And
and collectively, everyone read it as pound for pound, what's the funniest video on Twitter?
Oh, okay. Oh.
And he now has, I think he posted the stats last night. He has 195 million impressions on that tweet, and I think it was like 300,000 engagements, like 20,000 people quote tweeted it with what their video was. So it's like the Library of Alexandria for Twitter. Every video anyone's ever thought was funny has been posted in a quote tweet of that tweet, and he said it's got so much engagement that Twitter won't let him mute it. Like, he can't mute it.
Why can't he mute it? Like, him muting it doesn't affect how much engagement it gets.
It just won't let him mute it. So he's been like, I need to delete it. And everyone's like, no, because that's where I'm going to find all these videos from now on. He's like, I can't use the app.
So he broke Twitter. He broke it. He broke Twitter.
Basically.
This is Tyler I Am?
Yes.
Of course he did it. Of course,
I'm gonna read you the. Let me hold on. I'll look the stats up because it was fucking outrageous.
Did you want us to talk during this period, or can we?
Oh yeah, I sort of assumed you guys. Would talk.
We had not. Jax, you gonna edit the fuck out of this, nigga. We got Mike just stopped talking. We was like,
did you? He has 5.2 million engagements on the tweet.
God damn.
Wait, people like actually interacting with the tweet, bro. That sounds so stressful. He has to delete that, like, for himself.
It has 3,000 replies and 10,000 quote tweets.
Ain't no way in hell.
A mistake, too. That's crazy.
Yep. Anyway, stupidest app in the world. Let's talk about Allen Iverson. I thought this was really interesting that came out of an interview he did with who was the interview with?
Taylor Rooks.
Yeah. Taylor and Al Harrington, yeah.
Absolutely, because this was a great example of pulling a really interesting story out of a just kind of an offhand part of an interview, but he basically expressed that he would have loved to have been a part of the coaching staff with the Sixers, that's something he wanted to do. And so then we can obviously assume that the reason it hasn't happened is not because of him, but because of the team. Tyler, what did you think about this? And I feel like the Sixers are an interesting team specifically because of the kind of person they've been lacking in their organization.
Yes. When I first saw that clip, you know, AI disclosed that, you know, no one from the Sixers organization has, you know, reached out to him about being a part of that franchise in any capacity, right? And Iverson said himself, you know, I can understand if you don't want me to be an assistant, but, you know, get me in that building so I can work with these guys,
right, you know what I mean?
So that was the shit AI was on. And, you know, there was a part of me that was like, you know, I don't understand how the Sixers organization hasn't figured out a way to leverage how good Iverson is at, you know, connecting with and getting through to younger players, because Iverson has a gift with that shit. Right, all the players idolize him. All the younger players love him, and he really knows how to get through to these young guys. And I was like, you know, you can, you know, an organization like the Sixers, you can map out an 8-year-long equation, like the process that blows up in your motherfucking face, but they can't figure out the people aspects out of it. You know what I mean? So that was something. But then it kind of dawned on me that the reason they probably would not give AI a job is because AI is not going to be a company man. AI is going to shoot
too
straight,
real,
right? Yeah, he literally might be too real to work for the Sixers, because he's not going to push any agendas if he doesn't truly believe them. You know, he's not going to go against what he feels to you know, side with management and all that. So I think that's probably a part of it too. They know that if they get him in there, he's not going to always go too bad for them in certain situations. You know what I mean?
I think the greatness of part of the greatness of Allen Iverson is, like, as great as he is, he feels like a fan of these kids. Like, he genuinely wants them to do good. He's genuine fans of them.
Yeah.
The way he talked about Tatum was like, he wasn't Allen Iverson. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like it's been a Twitter argument for years, like, who's better, Steph or Iverson? There's a clip out there of Iverson like, boy, I ain't got shit on Steph. Steph is way better.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't see that from stars.
You don't see that. You don't see that. So I think, like, that part would make him great with these guys, because he genuinely loves them. I mean, you see the hugs he gives. That's on my motherfucking bucket list. I want an Iverson hug. You know what I mean?
Yeah, motherfuckers need an AI
hug. I need an AI hug from anybody, nigga. Like, shit. Motherfucking down the street. My neighbor could get it. I want an AI hug. Like, I mean, it's genuine love there. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're probably he's just too real. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be a company man. But I think he'd be – I mean, the bonds he create with these players would be so genuine. You know, and I think that's important.
Yeah.
And they have to figure out a way to leverage that for sure.
Yeah, I mean, do you think Ben Simmons would have sent AI to voicemail if he called? I do not.
No.
I think he'd have picked up the phone for AI.
No doubt. And so I think having people like that aren't going to – I think he would have been like, you know, I get it, fuck these niggas, but we need you to play. So it would have been a real way of talking about, you know, Doc was on that bullshit, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, come on, think about it this way. And I think you need people like that as a part of your organization that – you might not get them to do exactly what you want to do, but they'll do it in their own way. You know what I mean? So
right.
Because I feel like to your point, there's a decent chance he calls Ben Simmons and tells him, "Yeah, fuck that. You gotta do what's best for you and shit." Right?
Like, yeah, there's a chance he does that too. Yeah, there's a chance. But I mean,
how he's gonna have credibility. Like, you know what I mean? The fact that you believe he'd be honest over being a company man, that's why he has credibility.
He might say that, but he's also the only person that would have been in that organization that'll get him to actually have played. You know what I mean? So there's give and take with that shit.
And I think it's worth it because it's Allen Iverson.
For you, sure. I want AI to have all the nice things.
You feel me?
Shit.
All right, time to talk about Kyrie Irving.
That boy is not getting vaxxed, dog. I saw that tweet a Saturday morning about, I am protected by God. I'm like, yeah, Nets gonna have to figure something out here, but because that jab ain't happening, doggy.
Niggas always say they protected by God when, like when they're ignoring science. You gotta use it so much in that particular situation. where, like, God has given you things to protect yourself, and you're ignoring them. You know what I mean? Like,
I never understood that, because my grandparents were devoutly Catholic, like, very Catholic people, and that was, like, their exact stance was, like, my grandpa had a heart attack when he was, like, 42, and had his, they had an orange grove, and he was on the orange grove, had a massive heart attack.
Damn, that's some Godfather shit, bro.
Right. Like, I want to say it, but
California. He was actually in California avoiding that, is why I'm not in New Jersey right
he
now.
He was avoiding it, but the universe.
Yeah, but he had his, he had his last rites read to him. Mm. I mean, he was gone, and then he was not gone. And so that was, he seamlessly in his head thanked God for the miracle of modern medicine. Yeah. For the rest of his life. You know what I mean? Thank God for having a cardiologist who's able to tell me the things I need, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I don't, it seems like such an easy thing to.
Those people never have
that.
Twitters though. Those people that thank God for the science. And niggas that believe in God, you know what I mean? Don't be thanking God for science. We just participate in it. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
So that's actually not what I wanted to talk about, and I apologize in advance if I get slightly emotional or angry discussing this, but the city of New York has created a Kyrie Irving-sized loophole to their vaccine mandate, which they put in place to keep more people in New York from dying because it was the hardest hit city in the country. They have classified the Nets Arena as a private office building, not a sports venue. So that is going to allow him to practice without being vaccinated. A loophole done it specifically for Kyrie Irving by the city of New York. And I wanted to talk about this for a minute because this podcast is very aware that rich people and powerful people get a different set of rules, and that people who are well-liked get better treatment than people who aren't well-liked, etc. And I fully understand the way the world works. However, these mandates, these rules, these restrictions are put in place to save people's lives because hundreds of thousands of people have died. And I would add, the reason this makes me angry is there was also a lot of suffering in this country caused by these restrictions and mandates. And I personally covered the funerals of and wrote the obituaries of two teenage kids that I knew in Compton who were killed, who were shot to death when they should have been at basketball practice, except that every gym in the fucking city was closed because at the time it wasn't safe for people to be inside together. There was no exception made for them because they're not making anyone any fucking money. And there's no exception made for single parents in Long Beach, in New York, in fucking Brooklyn, in the Bronx, who had to figure out how to work an hourly job with three kids at home doing school by themselves, some of them kindergartners, some of them second graders. I know people in these situations. There was no exception made for them because they're not making anyone any fucking money. No one classified the elementary school as an office building so that the kids could still go to school. No one classified a Compton High School gym as an office building so these kids wouldn't be at a fucking burger stand at 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. And that's fucking bullshit. And it's bullshit. I'm not putting this on Kyrie Irving. It's bullshit on the part of the city of New York. It's bullshit in California that we had a governor who, while this was happening to these two kids, was at a fucking dinner party inside at a restaurant. And this, to me, is an issue that is not political, that people across the political spectrum should be able to say, as I do, I understand why these mandates were put in place. I was also watching people die of COVID-19. But if we're putting these mandates in place to protect people, they have to apply to fucking everybody. And this is one instance where we can't say the rich get to just make a fucking phone call to the city of New York's public health director and get a 20,000 person arena classified as an office building and not a sports venue. And that's all I really have to say about it. I don't know if you guys feel so, but I really was actually pretty fucking pissed off at this shit because I know so many people who've been impacted by going along with these mandates to try and keep people safe.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's you know, like you hit the nail on the head here. Definitely a bad look on the Nets part. Not even on some, oh, you're bowing to Kyrie shit. It's you are, you know, compromising the safety of you know, your organization, of your city. That's what these mandates were put in place for. So, yeah, not a good look for the Nets at all on this one. And it just shows us that you know, they're probably going to work with Kyrie through all this. It doesn't look like Kyrie's getting vaccinated. It's probably going to be 41-game Kyrie, role playoff Kyrie. That's probably what it's going to be with the Nets.
It's just wild how dire the situation is. Money always matters more. You know what I mean?
No matter how dire the situation is.
Like, this is, like, we're a global pandemic. All of these deaths, and money still matters more. You can still manipulate, you know, the system to your benefit if you're rich, no matter how wild the other side is. You know what I mean? So that blows my mind. But also it doesn't. You know what I mean?
It's the regularest shit
right,
ever.
Right, right. But yeah, like I mean, you're saying like we agree with the mandates. You know what I mean? Those kids shouldn't be in school at that time. You know what I mean? Like, but also Kyrie right. Irving shouldn't be in that motherfucking arena. You know what I mean? So it's just
and
wild.
If we're going to make exceptions, we should make them for the people who have the least, in my opinion. No, I mean, that's,
sure,
you know, like,
for sure.
In Compton, at Samaje Miller's funeral, the pastor for his church said, we're going to drag a couple kids' outdoor, hoops that have the sand in the base. Mm-hmm. We're going to drag them over to the church, put them in the parking lot, rope the parking lot off, and call it a basketball court. So the high schools can come and practice there. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be the responsibility of the people with the least power in a system to come up with that solution. You know what I mean? Because the people with power are too busy figuring out how a Kyrie Irving or, you know, Andrew Wiggins or whatever, how those people can get around those rules.
It like, shouldn't
that's
be,
the,
but
that's
it
the
is,
shit
bro.
That blows my mind.
We can't expect these motherfuckers to change. You know what I'm saying? Like from up top. You know what I mean? But yeah, it shouldn't be. It's fucked up. But that's amazing that he did that though. Kudos to that nigga.
Yeah,
that's some
sure.
real ass shit. You feel me?
Yep. The biggest game of week 5 is the Monday night matchup between the Colts and the Ravens, and FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL week right by winning $150 on a $5 bet. I'm a big believer in this Ravens team, so I'm for sure taking the Ravens, and I might do a same game parlay where I've got the Ravens money line, the Ravens on the spread, and maybe Lamar Jackson as an anytime touchdown scorer to round out my parlay. But offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. They're the number one rated sportsbook app in America. They're easy to use, they're safe and secure, and it's got fast payouts. FanDuel is sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J&J, this week before Indianapolis takes on Baltimore. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code JANJ so they know we sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. New users only, $10 first deposit required, must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus, $150. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Restrictions apply. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Speaking of getting fucked up, let's. you guys have anything to say about the Fury Wilder fight last night?
Damn! You compared what happened to him, how COVID is whooping our ass. That nigga fought a pandemic last night.
It's a segue, not a metaphor, John. It's a segue.
Okay. Jeez. But also, that man got his ass drugged. I'll say this. The second fight, I was like, damn, like Wilder's, you know, he ain't fucking with this nigga Fury, right? Fury just beat the brakes off his ass. And he got his ass whooped again this fight. But like I left with a lot of respect for Wilder. Way more respect than I'd imagine I'd leave with. First off, I didn't think he went around this fight. I just thought he'd get dismantled again because he can't box. But he does have that power. He set the greatest heavyweight in this. Like the only two blemishes he has in his career are from the greatest heavyweight. You know what I'm saying? Of this era. You know what I'm saying? Right now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And he set that motherfucker down 4 times. And he looked like he'd had no legs and would come out of nowhere and land some heavy punches. The motherfucker was a zombie. I was scared for his life at points. Because I'm like, these heavy punches from a dude of Fury size, that and he was almost too tough for his own good. But I respect the fuck out of Wilder. But that nigga got knocked the fuck out. And and it was the most respectful, I got knocked the fuck out, you got knocked the fuck out, that I've ever said in my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know you got knocked the fuck out for real if you fall forward instead of backwards when you get knocked out. Like, Fury hit him with that hook, and that motherfucker, like, did a spin move about face drop. The ref ain't even counting. Like, nah, dog, it's over for you. That's some video game shit you just got hit with.
That's the truest shit of all time, bro. Yeah.
You fall forward instead of backwards, you got knocked the fuck out for real.
And he landed in the
field. Your delicate bits are on the front, bro. You know what I mean?
Yeah, once you can't stop yourself from falling on your face, bro, you have lost all control of your body. It's time to wrap it up, dog.
And he landed in fetal position. Like, the nigga was like, you know what I mean, when you asleep cuddling with your lady. But that, you know what I mean, that shit was wild. But I mean, it was a hell of a fucking fight. You know, Fury's just a fucking dog. I mean, he got up from some nasty blows too. Like, this is one of the heaviest right hands we've ever seen. The dude has 42 wins and 41 of them are from fucking knockout. You know what I mean? He's a knockout artist, and Fury ate the motherfuckers. So, like, I mean, it was just two tough motherfuckers battling out. Heavyweight fights are so ugly, and I hardly ever like them. The little guys are just so much more skilled, and I enjoy them more. But this was a heavyweight fight that I loved. It was what you want out of heavyweight fights, where, like, you're scared somebody's not going to make it out the ring. That's what heavyweight fights are, you know?
Yeah, there was, you know, it felt like Deontay's legs went after, like, round three or so. Like, they went out real early. Because
they're this big.
And, and fucking 280-pound Tyson kept leading on him and shit, too.
Like, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That was part of the strategy for sure. But it was like, you know, once those legs went, it was like you knew the knockout was coming. You know what I'm saying? There was kind of this anticipation that was building where you're like, bro, these motherfuckers are swinging. Deontay's going to get knocked out sooner or later. And when that motherfucker did get knocked out, boy, did he. That shit looked like a fucking building demolition or some shit. That big 6'7" motherfucker dropping, bro.
Usually when you see two big dudes right by each other, they don't look as big. Them niggas looked enormous. Both of them simultaneously. You know, and when he fell, he looked extremely big. The motherfucker took up half the ring on the motherfucking floor. And I think he would have probably been out of there, like, in the fifth or sixth round, you know what I mean? If knees didn't have the ability to lock. He was fighting with locked knees for, like, through, like, 5-6 rounds. Because, dog, like, you saw how he's walking around with that stiff shit. You know what I mean? Like, he couldn't move. And he still had some power. And he pulled, you know, like, I mean, at the end of the fight, after he got knocked out, he was talking to his dude, like, I'm good. I can still go. Nigga, no, you can't. Sit your ass down. And he talked about the dude that threw the towel in last fight, how he's a weak individual. No, that man loved you. And I would have threw the towel in 2-3 rounds before you got knocked out, because I don't want to see what could have happened in that situation, nigga. Like, dog, sheesh. You're not just a human out here. You're not just a animal out here fighting. You know what I mean? Like, you're a human, and that motherfucker should have threw the towel last fight, and somebody should have threw it in this one, too. I know we got a great fight out of it, but it looked really scary for the last 2-3 rounds.
Do you feel differently about that as you get older? Would you have been worried about him as a human being the same way like 10 years ago?
I don't know, man. I've been a sensitive ass nigga my whole life. So, I mean, I would have been like really, really excited for longer. But I think those two rounds, regardless of, you know, I mean, my age, I'd have been like, whoa, Bubba. Like, this don't.
Yeah,
the way
yeah.
he looked, he looked like he was. You know, moving, but he was like barely conscious. You know what I mean?
No, we've talked about it on the pod a few times about how you progress through your 30s and all of a sudden, like, all college athletes are just children to you. You know, it's like your perspective and all that changes. I was curious. I've always been a little too sensitive to, like, fully get into combat sports. Like, my nerves are too bad for that shit.
Y'all remember when Juan Markel Marquez knocked Pacquiao out?
Oh, man. Pacquiao's one of my favorite fighters. I was Pac over Mayweather during that time, so that fucked me up. I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that fucked me up, too, bro. Like, I remember Pacquiao's wife ran in the ring. I was like, God damn.
Get up, Pacquiao! Get up! That was me watching the fucking fight. You know what I mean? And that was a crazy right hand he ate, too. Like, he jumped into that shit.
He ate it dead on, too.
Bro, it was crazy.
Like, right up, all up in here.
As a regular ass nigga that fucking fights regular ass niggas and, you know, sparring, like the punch that hurts the most is by far the cross. You know what I mean? Like, and he jumped into a cross from a fucking Marquez. You know what I mean? Like, that's insane. But I think
we have a really big Filipino and Cambodian population in Long Beach. You could like hear the air drawn in out of the atmosphere when he got in there. Like,
right. Those, you know? All those fights.
He's
were...
he's a member of everyone's family. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That
from
makes
the
sense.
Philippines, bro.
I mean, he's a god to them. You know what I'm saying? He's like giving. There's lines outside his house when he leaves the house. He was just giving money out to the locals. You know what I mean? Like
and people here who are second generation immigrants feel the same way about him. I mean, it's in the way that there's certain framed pictures you expect to see on the wall, you know, in like a black household or whatever. You go into any Filipino person in Long Beach's house, and fucking Pacquiao's up there with like next to the crucifix and shit, bro.
I get it, dude. Like, I'm a regular. When I ran with Pacquiao, I cried afterwards. I cried. I was like, oh, shit. When I finally realized this is...
From the running.
Right, from after running. Like I was tired as shit. I just didn't even have energy to cry. But I was like, I just ran with Manny. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. But yeah, man. Like, I think with these, with boxing, when I started watching boxing, like, with ESPN, like, Friday Night Fights and shit. And, like, I think you know what you're getting into with boxing. I always knew... that I'm watching people beat each other up. But yeah, I have my limit where I'm like, you know, come on, guys. That's enough. Break it up. You know what I mean? Like, I get there. Yeah, definitely. A little quicker than I used to, for sure.
Can I safely assume that neither of you watched the Dodgers-Giants playoff baseball game last night?
1,000%.
That is a safe assumption.
Yeah, yeah, very safe. That is, like, you could bet money on that. You could bet the house on that shit, bro.
Did you see the... any images of the appearance that American actor Tom Cruise made at the baseball game?
I forgot he was a human that existed on this planet. No, I forgot he.
Okay, hold on, Jackson. Don't fuck my surprise up.
Send it to the fucking group chat too, bro. I want to see this motherfucker up close, man.
Okay, hold on.
You know what I'm saying? I don't want to see it through this fuzzy ass fucking internet connection.
This is a fitting 200th episode that we're texting each other shit, and I'm looking shit up while we're on the podcast.
We might have talked shit about Tom Cruise in the first episode. We might have.
You should both have the picture. I tweeted Norm MacDonald's final joke on this earth was taking over Tom Cruise's face shape.
Jesus fucking Christ. This is... my stomach is fucked up looking at this. Is wild. Jesus. I don't have words.
Holy shit. This motherfucker looks like a corn nut. What the fuck is this? Nigga, nigga look like a cashew.
All he eats is sodium, nigga. That motherfucker is bloop, 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 nigga. You are America's fucking... being old, Tom don't got no respect for nothing and nobody, nigga.
Right. That was the fucking the hottest guy on the planet in the 80s right there. Now look at, he looks like a pinky toe.
And somebody just blew in his neck.
Somebody said mission inflatable.
Right. God damn, bro. You look like a fucking senator, that. Nigga. This nigga look like he from Texas. Scientology beating that ass, buddy. God damn.
Damn, Tom.
Woo, Tom versus Scientology, nigga. Golly, bro. Shit. Face swollen in that bubble coat he got on, nigga. How your face match your jacket, motherfucker? God damn.
Woo-wee! Shit, I'm scared of getting old, nigga. Lord have mercy on my soul, please. What's wild is he still got his hair, but he got a bald man's face. You know what I mean? Nigga, you don't deserve that hairline, motherfucker. God damn, nigga. How you got hair and you look bald, nigga? Let it go, Tom. Bald it out, fuck it. Head need to match the face ass, nigga. Lord have mercy on this motherfucker here, nigga. Woo! How your smile scary? Spooky season indeed, motherfucker. Woo, shit. God damn, nigga, used to be beautiful.
Woo. It is spooky season. It looks like Tom Cruise is wearing 19 Tom Cruise masks layered over top of each other.
Right.
Look like a Mikael.
Mikael Mayer's face ass nigga. Like that nigga ain't Tom. You Thomas now, nigga. You Thomas Cruise, motherfucker. Shit.
I wish I could bottle the joy I had watching this baseball game last night when they showed him on camera, and I had two thoughts at once. John and Tyler are not watching this because it's a baseball game, and I cannot fucking wait to show them this picture while we're recording.
This motherfucker face got diabetes, nigga. Lord have mercy. God damn! This nigga look like a thumb knuckle. Motherfucker. Oh, shit. You the one that slid through the living room, nigga? Say it ain't so, motherfucker. Say it ain't so, my nigga. Lord Jesus. Woo, shit, boy. Oh, man. Botox face ass nigga. Fuck that nigga, man.
I will say that the one thing we may all have going for us is that as we get older, I don't feel like we're going to try and do anything about it. And I feel like that's better.
Oh, bro. You know what I mean? I'm going to still work out, but that's for me, nigga. I know my face going to fall off. Fuck it. You know what I mean? Shit. Yeah. What's wild is your nose and ears keep getting bigger. Yeah, like those are the only things on your body that always grow. Your nose and ears. Nigga,
Don't your nuts get... Doesn't your scrotum get bigger,
I think it gets more isn't pliable. I think it gets...
It gets droopier.
Yeah.
It just gives up the fight.
Right, you know? Right. The motherfuckers just drop. You know what I mean? Like, they like, I'm tired, nigga. Fuck it. Figure it out yourself. You know what I mean? But like, dude, we're made not to be good looking.
I wonder if they have nutsack tucks, bro.
You said what?
Do they have nutsack tucks?
Kegels? That ain't a nutsack tuck. That's so your joints still work, bro. That's like the...
No, I'm saying, do you think there's plastic surgeons out there that do nutsack tucks?
Man, I'm sure a motherfucker has gotten their nutsack tucked a few times. I'm positive. I am absolutely sure of it, bro.
Tom Cruise got that shit done in his face, nigga.
They don't have that on the menu out front. You have to know to order that one.
Your other rich homie told you, over here they got the, you know what I'm saying? It ain't on the menu, but if you hit the cook, he'll cook it up for your ass. You know what I mean? Sheesh. Just tell your server you want it this way, nigga. Jesus Christ.
I think we finally found... that maybe the conspiracy theory that can be our Jenkins and Jones conspiracy theory, which is that birds are not real. Had you guys heard of this prior to last week?
No. Not until you hit this to it.
Okay. I failed to have the tweet ready. God damn it.
Mike, this is your shit too. You brought this to us. So amped too. This nigga was like... Hey, keep this on there.
I have the
too.
List of topics. I have the list of topics, Jackson.
Keep this shit on there. Niggas need to know what you have to deal with, Jackson. Right? This nigga be writing down topics. Who be using pen and pencil, nigga? Nigga, the fuck out of here.
Oh, God.
Lord Jesus, you might as well carve that shit into some fucking wood, nigga. Goddamn,
I'm a tactile learner. I'm a tactile learner.
I want to make fun of saying things. Tactile, but I actually love that word, so I respect it.
Okay, so someone posted a picture of a windowless van, full size van, that says in size 790 point font on the side of it, "Birds aren't real." And then it's got writing all over it. It says, birds charge on power lines. Every bird is a government surveillance drone. It says the United States government murdered over 12 billion birds over the course of 1959 through 2001 as they killed off the real birds. They replaced them with surveillance drone replicas, indistinguishable from a biological bird. There are now no real birds left. And then the best is, in all caps, it says, pigeons are liars.
Pigeons are liars. I'm with them.
I agree with that, bro. We right here with the pigeons are liars shit.
I like this.
Yeah, but yeah, I love it because it's fucking crazy as fuck and it's harmless too. Yeah, right? like that. Those are my best types of conspiracy theories. Those are my favorites. So yeah, man. I mean, we can say that. I like how they covered their ass with the mass motherfucking murder of birds from 1959, because that was one of my thoughts. Like, I was like, bro, birds have been around forever. You telling me like in fucking ancient Egypt 3,000 years ago those were government drones? But they covered their ass with the 1959 mass murder production of the government drones. So that's good shit there too. So yeah, I'm all in it. Fuck it.
Does birds cover all types of birds? Like, are hawks and falcons considered, like, is that what he's talking about too? Or is it like, you know what I mean? Hummingbirds and shit. Like, what defines birds? How are we going to do? Did he think that far? Or like, what am I thinking?
I've actually done some deep diving.
There we go! Oh. Mike, talk to me.
A couple people hit me up. We do have a couple birds are not real listeners to the show. So shout out to them. Someone sent me a link to the Reddit. They have like 400,000 people on the Reddit for this. It is very clear that quite a few people who are a part of this are doing so because they find it funny trolling.
Trolling for sure.
But it's also clear that not everyone is.
So what is it? I've actually seen hawks eating other birds and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like,
right. I've also been in a truck that hit a bird, and it did not have computer things come out of
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was very bird things inside of that bird. Yeah.
One of the explanations was that there are still a few birds, like those are like the last dinosaurs, but they're disoriented. That's why they might run into a truck or something like that, because, you know, they're not meant for this world because they don't have any homies and, you know, they have no culture left, basically. All their capos are gone. So it's, you know, they're just running free and loose in the shit.
I mean,
so.
If I was here with a bunch of fucking, you know, robotic humans, I would run into a truck. Yeah. I would do that. I get that.
But
logic.
Yes, falcons and hawks included in the conspiracy. Those are like the really good drones.
I think that's where you know that's. I don't think robots are eating robots, and I've actually seen like hawks snatch fucking birds clean out the fucking air. You know what I'm saying? Me and Adrian in the car for that too. We've seen a lot of animal shit. We saw the fucking chipmunk catch a heart attack, nigga. We've seen a lot of shit together.
Y'all see some shit.
We see some shit. Nature be naturing like a motherfucker out here.
The only weakness of this as a conspiracy theory is that you could just take a rifle out and shoot any bird. And you know.
But he said there you can't tell anatomically, right? Did he not say that? Was that part of what you read?
Yeah, there's like it's like the way that they've absorbed that is that it's like they're like biosynthetic drones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean,
I'm with it. Like Tyler said, it's harmless. Do it. Yeah. More birds aren't real content, please. Let's blow this motherfucker up.
Birds aren't real. The official conspiracy theory of the Jenkins and Jones podcast.
Oh yeah.
John, do we want to read? So we did a hoodie giveaway. And a ton of you sent stuff in. We really appreciate you, John. Do you want to start reading the how many winners do we have?
Like
we picked more winners than we were supposed to. I think.
I think we picked like 15 of them, motherfuckers. If you put some effort into it, it's like, yo, here's a hoodie. You get a hoodie, nigga. You know what I mean? And people are so nice. It's like when they're like big fan of the pod. Da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, you get a hoodie, bro. How am I going to not give that person a hoodie? You know what I mean? Yeah. So I guess
You want to start reading them or you want me to?
You start because I'm not there yet.
Okay, I'll go from oldest to newest. So this is from CJ Bynum. His Big Cat rankings were, we asked people to follow the volume, subscribe to Jenkins and Jones, which we assume that you do, and then to rank the big cats in order and tell us why. CJ Bynum says, I may be a lame fellow. For my reasoning, But he didn't say fellow. But spending so much time with my son watching these movies, I'm going off the strength of the Disney movies as source to my reasoning, specifically The Jungle Book and Lion King. In The Jungle Book, Shere Khan had the whole jungle shook. He's a Bengal tiger that survived a stampede of buffaloes, each of which were like 1,000 pounds or some shit. He casually drove back a whole wolf pack, a bear, and other creatures with ease, and he gave Bagheera, a black jaguar, the business in like 30 seconds. The cat was only defeated by the rage of a forest fire. The Black Panther or Jaguar is second only because the lion is literally a pussy. We see in The Lion King, Scar is a punk-ass bitch who only got to where he was by having his minions chase away his young nephew. Mufasa ain't survive a buffalo stampede the way Shere Khan did, and Simba didn't even really want to come back to fight. And even when he did, he had to bring the whole gang with him to fight. Shere Khan, the true king of the jungle, would be disgusted.
Points were made.
Points were fucking made. All right, this one long as shit. From That Dude Easy, he said, call me E-Dub. I fuck with it. I might not read all of this, but you get a fucking hoodie. That's what matters. What up, guys? Been a listener since day one. And I go back with Duffy and the Jethro since the Morning Jones days with Monty Jones. I'm a humble PE teacher that enjoys dunking on third and fourth graders like most guys in my profession. I was excited about this contest, and even if I don't win, the thought of talking cats has me nerding out a little bit. So let's get this shit. I guess I'll read the whole thing. Fuck it. He put a lot of effort into this motherfucker. All right, three tigers. Wow, you've been 3-2-1 backwards. Interesting. Tigers are some dope ass cats. They are the biggest of the three. They are like the left tackle of cats. Biggest hell old Jonathan Ogden ass niggas. They do really dope shit and are really good at doing tiger shit. But for me, I'm missing the sexiness and a bit of edge from them. So I gotta put the two other cats above them. So no disrespect, though. They also lose points because of Tigger of Winnie the Pooh and Big Tigger from Bad Rap City. Sorry, Tigger. Tigger's game is a game. Sorry, Tigger, game is a game. All right. Male lions sleep 16 to 20 hours out of their day. Make the women do the hunting and raise the kids and still get referred to as king of the jungle. Respect. You ain't shit, nigga. That nigga ain't shit. but not number one on my list. Them niggas are king of the hustle game. Everyone got lion tattoos. When if we keeping it a stack? These niggas low-key mad lazy, sleeping all day, and got dudes who sell Cutco knives saying they're lions about their ship. Nigga, please. We know you lion. Oh, he spelled we know you lion like L-I-O-N. Oh, there we go, buddy. They did receive extra points for the ability to replace lying with lying in a joke, though. However, they lose points because of the cowardly lions, punk ass, and the Wizard of Oz. He persevered, though. All right, listen. Jaguars are excellent swimmers. This is number one. As a person of color, they're getting bonus points right there. I'm a statistic, too. or a stereotype. I'll say that. I'm a stereotype. They are certified badasses. The roar is cool. They are not picky eaters, as them motherfuckers will eat anything, a characteristic that I also admire in humans. But the main reason why they are number one is the YouTube video of the jaguar killing a caiman crocodile. Bonus points. This nigga casually swam through 30 meters, came up behind a fucking croc, and wrecked his shit. He didn't know no pack of homies like a he didn't need no pack of homies like a lion or a tiger. Nigga got out the pool, was hungry as hell, and decided he was going to get some crocodile meat. We all been swimming. We know how hungry as a motherfucker you are when you get out. Listen, next time I go swimming, I'm going to go out and say to my son, "Man, I'm hungry as a jaguar." And he going to know exactly what I mean. Bonus points added also because nobody drives around in a tiger or a lion, but a jaguar. Okay. Okay, play. I see you. Much love. Fellas, keep up the good work. There we go. Oh, wait. He also hosts a little podcast on the web that talks about the Atlanta Hawks called the Hawks Beat Podcast. Peace and blessings. Check out the Hawks Beat. That was long as fuck, but it was worth every bit. Good job, bro. We really appreciate that. You get a hoodie.
All right, let me. Goddamn.
You want to read the one from Danny Sargent, Tyler?
That shit is anything in that shit?
Yeah, he took a screenshot of his notes app.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought that was a screenshot of him following shit. No. Okay. Big Cats Rank, number one. Okay, hold up. This is Danny. Okay, Danny Sargent. Number one, Jaguars. Jaguars are the only of the cats on this list that can have a completely black pigment, making them black panthers, and black panthers are the most beautiful big cat of all big cats. I think only leopards and jaguars can be black panthers, but I could be wrong. I only went to community college.
It's cool, man. Ain't no judging here. Fun over facts.
Tigers. Yeah, fuck hell yeah. Great pattern. They can grow the little thin beard joint. Got the best growling images on Google. And the white tiger is the second most beautiful big cat in all of big cats. Three lions, they aight, plain brown. The mane is a beautiful feature, but isn't enough to make it in this list, unfortunately. So, you know, a little aesthetic approach there from Danny. So
I like that. Yeah, I fuck with that. Okay.
Do so we each read one more, and then, like, you know, we don't have
and
to.
We'll
read
just, yeah. Should we shout out everyone who's getting it? Or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. I guess we'll reply and say, send us your address.
We'll reply on the
email. Yeah, the email say send you your address. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we'll read these and then I'll just say the names of the other people that should.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. Boom. Boom.
Okay.
Boom.
And we shout them out that way. Okay.
I fuck with it.
This is from Summer. She says, "Top of the morning, guys. My name is Summer. I would like to enter the contest for the Jenkins and Jones hoodie giveaway. Attached are my screenshots, etc., etc. Her ranking the big cats is tigers, lions, jaguars. Ooh. She says, hear me out. I know most would put lions on top because they're allegedly king of the jungle, but lions are mid. Think of every dope big cat you know. It's a tiger, ain't it? Tony, Tigger, Raja, Hobbs. Tigers are superior. Plus, tigers got natural drip. The stripes go crazy.
Big facts.
Hobbs, yeah. She's the only person who brought up Hobbs, and that actually does get directly into my
phone. Oh, yeah. Heart, oh, so. For sure. For sure.
Now, back to lions. I get the appeal. They're big. They got great promo, and they roar. I get it. But think about it. The most famous lion got clapped by his scrawny, hating-ass brother in front of his son. Oh, lame.
Big lame.
But not as lame as jaguars. What do they got? A British car that requires hella maintenance and a football team with a coach who would rather be in Ohio.
Man, give her two hoodies, dog. Run her two of them things. Said,
love the show, and I'll be listening even if I don't win. She says some nice things. She says, stay safe and happy Indigenous Peoples Weekend. Happy Indigenous Peoples Weekend to you, Summer, at Fab Fresh and Fly. And she says, P.S., Mike, you're a wild boy for wanting to try pumpkin spice hummus. That is not very Long Beachian of you.
Give her three hoodies. Give her
Summer,
three
hoodies. If you're in Long Beach, three hit hoodies. Me up.
Give her three. She get all three colors. Fuck you, man.
She's great, bro.
All right, I'm reading.
We did these in the wrong order. You should have read Summer, and I should have read Garrett.
It's all good. I'm gonna read. Chef Boone. I'm not gonna say his first name on here. Chef Boone on Twitter. Underscore at the after the Boone part. But what up with my guys? Big fan of the pod. Y'all have me dying laughing on a consistent basis. Y'all have made this pandemic bearable, man. Got me through some tough times. Y'all are so nice. We just be talking shit with our homies on here, and you really like it. I appreciate that. Anyway, enough of the soft shit. We like the soft shit. I love the soft shit. Okay.
We fuck with the soft shit.
You feel me? Love the soft shit. Ain't soft. You know what I'm saying? It's balanced human shit. All right. Okay, boom. I'm going Jaguar first. They're jet black, can swim, and just overall a cold motherfucker. Like Blade in a cat form, my G. I respect that. Second, I'm going Lion. King of the Jungle. Been rocking since they killed Kill my G Mufasa. Disney really didn't give a fuck about my adolescent feelings. That's a fact. Everybody in there was crying. That shit was, you know what I'm saying? My therapist is hearing about that at times, nigga. That shit was heartbreaking, nigga. Third, Tigers. I just think about the Cincinnati Bengals, and they've been historically bums. Okay.
No, he said buns.
Buns. Shit. Okay, there we go.
Buns is the most underrated insult ever, bro.
Right,
I love that.
Buns.
Fucking there we go. Buns.
Anyway, hope your boy get a chance. Winter approaching, and I need another hoodie for my shorty to steal. Y'all be easy. And John, if you're ever in a cat.
NorCal.
Let's go off my guy. For sure. Love, Chef Boone. I'm sorry. I can't really. My contact's fucked up. I couldn't see that part, but. All right.
All right, Tyler, you want to read one more?
All right, bet. Let me read, goddamn. I guess we'll read Garrett since we name dropped him already. Motherfucking Garrett. All right. Hey, guys. Here's my entry for the new hoodies. Thanks for the opportunity. Love the pod. My Twitter handle is Garrett Garcia in case you need to verify my final status. Okay. His rankings. Tigers 1, Lions 2, Jaguars 3. Okay, so tigers are first, and I'll tell you why. These things are supreme hunters and killers out in the jungle, all while being orange. Can you think of a worse color to be when trying to sneak up on something and murder it? That's a great fucking
That is
point.
An orange, incredible like, insight. Incredible.
Yeah. Orange is fucking safety cone.
Right, like, nigga. Pops out. Right, and still be up on their asses, you feel
they're
me?
They're out there in the hunting vest that people have to wear so that they're noticeable.
Right. That's exactly what he says here. Hunters wear orange to avoid mistaking other hunters for a nice juicy deer. Tigers are born this way and yet still wreak havoc on anything it deems a delicious meal. Come on now, orange. Also, they got that cool feature on the backs and their ears that look like eyes so they don't get snuck up on too badly. What a badass animal and so deserving of number one. Jaguars are number two because holy shit, this is still a formidable big cat. I know y'all seen that underwater picture from Nat Geo where the jag has a look of pure destruction and murder on its face while it spears a fish with its massive claws. They make wolverines look like child's play, but they don't top tigers again because orange. But jags are number two because these things legit cannot be tamed. The pod informed me that they don't keep them in zoos for this reason. That's insanity. People take photos with baby lion cubs, but not jags. You probably love your children and don't want to see them look like strips of paper mache. Now, lions get the fuzzy end of the lollipop here. It's been a big exposure of pushback against the lion agenda in these messages. People are sick of the
good.
Mufasa set lions back by 50 years, bro. Mufasa really.
Okay, now lions get the fuzzy end of the lollipop here. They absolutely don't deserve third place here, but their competition was so damn fierce, so here they are. Lions are called kings of the jungle for a reason, right? Or are they? They don't really live in jungles. Anyway, they're the same color of the savannah they live in. So camouflage really helps them out here when it comes to hunting. It's a little easier for them to sneak up on things out there drinking water on the river's edge. Now imagine a tiger being a bright orange beacon out there on the savannah. Not sneaky. However, I still think they're holding their own regardless of coloring. That's how badass tigers are. Hell yeah. Lions still deserve love and respect, though. At the end of the day, I don't want to be on the wrong end of any of these big cats. They're all winners in my book. Anyway, I hope that wasn't too long. My screenshots are attached. Thanks for the time, everyone. And I hope my entry was good enough to win a hoodie. Take care.
You get a hoodie.
All right.
You get a fucking hoodie, Garrett.
The other people getting hoodies are Brandon R., Luke P., I don't know if someone, Just Cuz. I'm guessing that's not. Steven. That's our guy, Steven Currency. Steven Currency, Josh H., Joe H., Rishi R., Dave J., Cameron A., Vince J., German Low. Brandon G, John P, and I think that's it. So thank you for sending them in. It was awesome how many people we were reading these and talking about them earlier today. So thank you for sending your shit in. And like I said, I think we're supposed to give out one hoodie
or three or something, but we're like, yo, at least for the first one, we should give a bunch of them out. Like here,
yeah, for sure. We probably should have confirmed with the producers we could do that before we committed to it. But congratulations to everyone getting a hoodie. Thank you for sending in your responses.
Greatly appreciated.
All right. We have a couple items on the book club before we get out of here. We do have Clint Smith coming on Thursday. So JenkinsandJones@gmail.com. A couple of you have sent questions in already. If you read How the Word Is Passed with us and you have questions for Clint, again, JenkinsandJones@gmail.com. And Tyler has an announcement about the next book that we're going to read.
Yes, the next book that we are going to read is Dynasties, the 10 GOAT Teams That Changed the NBA by the homie Marcus Thompson. Get that. It's a really good fucking read. You know, we've had some heavy reads these last couple, too. So I figure, you know, I have a little something lighthearted to segue us into the NBA season. I'm about two chapters deep into it, and it's really fucking good. I guess we'll.
Are you getting a head start, huh?
Yeah, but dog. I was interested in the other books to read, but this one, it's Marcus. Marcus did his shit on this, man, which I did not expect anything otherwise. Brilliant fucking journalist. But yeah, Dynasties, 10 GOAT Teams That Changed the NBA. Marcus Thompson. That's what we on next.
And we're going to read that a week from Thursday. So how many? What should people read for the first discussion? How many do we want to break it up into?
Let's read up to the Celtics dynasty. Let's read that.
Okay.
How many chapters is that? Just one.
Like, that's like four chapters. Okay. There's like an intro chapter on why dynasties are important. There's a chapter on what defines a dynasty. Then there's the Mike and Lakers and the, you know, Russell Celtics.
Cool.
So it goes chronologically here.
For sure.
Yeah.
Ordered. All right. There was one other. There's something. Oh yes, a week from today, next Monday's episode is going to be our NBA preview episode. So get excited for that. Basketball season around the corner. The Lakers are going 82-0. Very excited for the history that's coming up from the Los Angeles Lakers. And yes, next Monday, John shaking his head. Next Monday,
y'all jinxing it. Just let them do their shit.
Some things are too powerful for a jinx. What am I? What am I to Russell Westbrook and LeBron James and Anthony Davis, bro? Come on. Shit. That's all our time for this week, or for this episode. We'll see you guys on Thursday. Thanks so much for listening. And man, thanks. I did love whenever we push it out to the listeners and we get fucking 100 emails. That's just cool, man. Thank you for that. That's great.
Bye.
Bye.